Do you use WhatsApp? Can you imagine, if you do use it, having it then taken away from you? Well, China has stepped up internet censorship, disrupting the Facebook-owned messenger WhatsApp, just weeks ahead of the National Congress of the Chinese Communist Party later this month. The Chinese internet watchdog has also been busy, it seems. Last week, it imposed maximum fines on the three main Chinese tech giants for failing to adequately deal with violent and pornographic online content. And the crackdown in China, interestingly, comes at the same time that the UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, continues to wrestle with how best to control extremist content on the net there. So, this raises a question. Are we entering a new era of increased regulation of the internet? And how do we navigate these thorny issues at the nexus of freedom of speech, national security, and censorship? Joining me now is Dr. Andres Guadamus. He's a senior lecturer in intellectual property law at the University of Sussex. Welcome to RN.
Thank you for having me.
So we've seen these reports that the Chinese government initially banned access to WhatsApp. It now appears that it's just been restricted. Can you explain to us what's behind the move? Most of us would think of WhatsApp as being something relatively innocuous, just like sending a text message.
It is. For the vast majority of people who use the internet and use communication apps, WhatsApp is their means of communication with friends and family. It is innocuous for the most part. Now, because it is encrypted, it has an encrypted type of communication, it can also be used for communicating criminal intent, or it can be used for unsavory reasons. Now,
should we just tease that out for people that don't necessarily use WhatsApp or necessarily understand what encryption means? If you start messaging someone on WhatsApp for the first time, you'll get a small alert, won't you, from the service telling you that this is a private message and that no one else can essentially penetrate it.
Yes, that's precisely right. The idea is that anyone that intercepts the communication between you and the person you're talking to is not going to be able to read or listen to your content and your messages. If it is a voice message, they cannot listen to it. If it is a text message, they cannot read the content. Now, for most people, this is a nice feature, but it can be misused by criminals.
And it is misused by criminals as well as extremist networks, for example, in the West, where they might carry out terrorist attacks.
The problem that regulators have, and we have as a society as a whole, is try to decide whether or not curbing this type of communication, curbing and putting restrictions on that type of encryption that protects our privacy and sometimes even our businesses, if we need to put some form of restriction on that in order to stop the people who are also using and misusing the service.
So WhatsApp was the last Facebook product available in mainland China. The rest of them were banned back in 2009. Is this recent disruption, is that a message to Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook crowd that they're not actually wanted in China?
I think it's in part it's a message, but it's also part of a very long-standing strategy by the Chinese government. The Chinese internet is very, very restricted. I think everyone has heard, or most people would have heard of, the Great Firewall of China. Chinese internet is very different from the rest of the world because there are very few points of entry, and these are filtered, heavily, heavily filtered, to filter for content that the Chinese government doesn't want its citizens to access. Now, it's not only large corporations that are being restricted. Things like cryptocurrencies, things like Bitcoin, are now under heavy restriction in China, which actually has very interesting implications for the rest of the world.
But the Chinese government is not alone in thinking that cryptocurrencies need greater regulation or even restriction. It's not alone in thinking that the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and the Facebooks of the world need some tighter controls around them. There are a lot of people where you are, there are a lot of people where we are here in Australia that might think, actually, you do need to take a much stronger line about these very big American corporations that gather enormous amounts of data, information, offer you some kind of security guarantee, but it's unclear what the motivation is for that.
I would argue that most of the time the motivation is money for the collection of our data. It is true that a lot of people or other governments are looking at tighter controls of the internet. The idea of the internet was that there was not going to be control. And if you look back at some of the writings back from the 90s, what theorists were thinking about the internet is that it was going to be an entirely new space without regulation. Now that we have seen what that brings, which can bring criminality, can bring bad things that we may want to regulate, governments are looking again at the type of regulation that can be exercised on the internet. Now, you can go all out and have very strict regulation and control and filtering like the Chinese government is doing. That is one way of going of solving the problem. I'm guessing that most people do not, in Western pluralist societies, do not want that. We don't have to go through the Chinese model. It's very specific. It works for them as well, as I was saying, because they have very heavy filtering of the internet.
There is a lot of criticism of the high level of censorship in China about the attempts the Chinese government makes to prevent freedom of speech.
Yes.
But I want to draw us to an interesting incident. Last week, the Chinese internet watchdog imposed maximum fines on Chinese tech giants, Baidu, Tencent, and Sina Weibo, which is like the Google, for failing to adequately deal with pornographic as well as violent content and content that promotes ethnic hatred. They imposed the maximum fines. Now, there are a lot of people here in Australia, there are a lot of people in the UK where you are, that would think, well, that's a pretty good idea. You take a tough line on these internet giants that are willing to make lots of profit, but take not much responsibility for the implications of the content that appears on their sites.
I think that people who are interested in internet regulation, like me, who have been looking at this for many years, still, even us, we don't have the correct answer. Now, having some form of fines and making these companies liable, it's a good start. It has been tried before. At least in Europe, Google has been fined for other things, particularly competition law. Making these companies more liable, more accountable is a good thing, I believe. I actually share that that accountability and transparency should be inbuilt into those companies. I am concerned that imposing such fines is just going to make the problem a financial tax. If you make it impossible for only a small number of companies that are large enough to be able to hire lots of people, to be able to conduct all of the filtering that the internet requires, only a few companies are going to be able to stay in business.
So as far as I can tell, there's not much danger of them running out of business at this point in time.
And in some instances, I've seen it argued, and I think actually there is a very strong argument to be made in this case, is that they welcome more regulation in some ways because it locks them into place. Only Facebook and only Google can afford to monitor the internet, as is the requirement in by some governments. And I don't know if I'm making sense, but what the regulation is actually doing is making sure that Google and Facebook remain in business and remain quasi monopolies, because they are the only ones that can afford it.
Do we take, though, do you think, a much more critical or skeptical view of the Chinese government doing this sort of stuff than we do, for example, the Australian government or the British government doing this kind of thing? Yeah. Because in the wake of multiple terrorist attacks in the UK, the British government has told internet companies like Facebook and Google that they have to do more to remove jihadist material. There is now a snoopers charter in the United Kingdom, quite controversial in and of itself. But are we more willing to listen to the reasons why the British government might take a tough line on internet companies than we would the Chinese government?
No, I completely agree. I think actually the UK government has been taking a lot of criticism, at least from some circles in internet regulation, because what they're asking is not so much monitoring. Monitoring is already in place. And as you're saying, we already have legislation in place. The problem with internet monitoring is that it creates too much information. And everyone that has been involved in intelligence gathering can tell you that actually it creates too much hits or too many hits. Sometimes when we have these terrorist attacks, the first thing that we learn is that the perpetrators were known to the authorities for one reason or another. And the more information that you have, the more noise you have, and you cannot concentrate on these people that you should be concentrating a little bit more. Keep in mind just the vast amount of information that we're talking about. Companies like YouTube receive every minute terabytes and terabytes of videos that get uploaded. It's physically impossible for a person to go through that. So there has to be some form of algorithm and machine that is highlighting that there may be a problem here.
We will have to leave it there. We appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Andres Guadamuz. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Dr. Andres Guadamuz is a senior lecturer in intellectual property law at the University of Sussex.